Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to continue in our series, and I'd like you to read with me an encounter of the calling of today's disciple. We're going to study today Bartholomew. He's also known by his surname of Nathanael. So let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 45 through 51. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Okay, fantastic encounter here. There's an awful lot in there. We're going to continue in our series called Followers. We're looking at the lives and the circumstances of those whom Jesus called to kind of be in his inner crew. Now, when I was led to do this series, I was kind of hesitant, but I've really enjoyed really breaking into them, and I've been challenged on some ways. I hope you have been as well. If you haven't been with us, you're welcome to go online and kind of catch up. Our first week, we looked at Matthew. Now, remember, what was Matthew's job? He was a tax collector. Was that a highly thought of profession? That was a low down profession? Yeah, they were thought of less than the dogs. They were really thought poorly of. I mean, these were the scum of the earth, the unredeemable, the traitors, the bad people. And kind of our conversation led us that God, in fact, calls the despised. And if you happen to be one of those despised, if you have had some rough stuff in your life, if you've had some drama, if you're a big hot mess, God still has a calling for you. That's good news to some of us, isn't it? Okay. And it was quiet. Well, then the second week, last week we looked at James the Lesser, and we also looked at Judas, not Judas Iscariot, and how there's really not much known of these, and we really don't know anything, and it's kind of like they're mama's boys we read in Scripture and kind of saw from some of the names and how they were known. And we talked about how God has a calling on the wallflowers, the quiet people, the unassuming people. Not just the alpha dogs are called to follow. Not just the type A people are called to follow Jesus and have an impact in the kingdom. God calls the wallflowers. He's called the hidden people. Now today, we're moving on a bit to another less prominent disciple. Again, this is Bartholomew, as we've read here in John. He calls him by his surname Nathanael. And it's this interesting encounter. And we can read some things, and we can understand a little bit about Bartholomew. First of all, we know that he had a close relationship with Philip. And almost every time that we read in Scripture about Bartholomew, about Nathanael, we see Philip mentioned. They were very tight. But not only were they tight, they had a relationship that kind of was focused, and they talked a lot about Scripture. Because he knew the Scriptures. They're saying, "Hey, you know the one who we read about? You know the one who was fulfilling all these messianic prophecies? The Messiah? Remember that guy? Come find him." So he had a close relationship. He knew the Scriptures. And he was also a good Jew in terms of following the law. He was a model. As Jesus looked at him, Jesus saw Nathanael coming, we read. And he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Now, this is an interesting word to say, hey, he's an Israelite indeed. His actions meet his word. You know, you meet people in your life who they sometimes talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. You know people like that? Well, Jesus is saying, hey, this is the real deal. This is a guy here who's coming, who in fact, his actions back up his words. He is a good guy. And he goes on to say, in whom there is no, what's the next word? The last word? Deceit. There's no deception. There's no lying. There's no facade. Look, what you see is what you get. This guy is walking out what he knows of his faith. He's kind of like a model person. You know, okay, so as we look at this, as we look at Jesus coming, Jesus isn't being sarcastic. He's not, you know, poking fun at him. He's not trying to say, oh yeah, here's a messed up guy, here's a lost guy. In fact, he's shining a pretty positive light on Bartholomew. He's letting him know that he's a model person, that he's a model Israelite indeed. There is no deceit, that he is honest and he is upright. So my first point for us today is this. And I wrestled with this because I wanted to call this message, God Calls the Goody Two Shoes. But I didn't think that would market too well, right? Anybody know any Goody Two Shoes? I'm just curious. Is there anybody in the room? Any Goody Two Shoes in the room? Oh, come on. I know that there were some of you. Thank you. Thank you. We got one Goody Two Shoes. We had one guy who set the curve awful high. I'm going to ask one more time. Any Goody Two Shoes? Oh, Miss Cindy Lou? Yeah. She wasn't a Goody Two Shoes. Oh, yeah. Right. We know better than that. Okay. Well, the bottom line is this. Here's how I'm putting it. I don't want to be offensive. Bartholomew is a good man and no deceit, but Jesus calls the upright. Now, the reason I say that is because our first week, we looked at the really messed up guy, the traitor, the scumbag, the dirtbag. He would kind of be like the meth dealer or the drug dealer, the guy who's that bad element of society who we feel has betrayed us and embarrassed us. And yet Jesus calls them. Not only does Jesus call them, Jesus calls those beta people, those non-alpha dogs, the people who are quiet and unassuming. They have a calling in the kingdom of God, but also Jesus calls the upright, those good, honest people. They're not cheating on their taxes. They're being honest and they're being faithful in their relationships. They're not lying. They go to work. They are upright model citizens of the Republic. I say the Republic. And it's important for us to know this. Why? Because you don't need a dramatic testimony to come to Christ. You see, when I was growing up back in the 80s, which seems farther and farther back the years go by, there was a Christian comedian. I don't want to share his name, but he was kind of not known, and then all of a sudden he came on the scene and everyone knew him and he was doing all of these big things. And his hook was that when he was in the army, he had this horrible drug problem and he did all these horrible things and he got in fights and he got in all these things that happened. And a few years later, people who were in his regiment, his platoon, came forward and said, this wasn't true. Everything he said, it wasn't true. Why was that? He ended up losing his ministry. He ended up kind of going back in shame. And the deal was, there was no room to itch those ears that needed to hear the really big testimony. It's a big deal when a drug dealer comes to Christ, or when a reprobate comes to Christ, or someone who's a real, real bad person. When they come to Christ, boy, the church is excited. They want to get all around. They're spitting about it. I can't think of the word right now. They're all a big deal. But what about the honest, upright, hard-working people? Why don't we make a big deal when they come to Christ? Maybe, just maybe, there's some maturing that we in the church need to do. Because when we don't do this, we kind of create this atmosphere, this vacuum, that people think that they have to have some big dramatic event in their life. Gang, you don't have to make a ton of mistakes. I tell my kids this all the time. I want you to be good kids. You don't have to learn the hard way. Sometimes we do. I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes we do. But the truth is, you don't have to learn the hard way. God calls The upright, the people who try to do everything right. And there's a danger, church, and I want to warn us all. There is a danger in highlighting the extreme. There's a danger in that because it messes people up. It messes up our understanding of what salvation really is. Because honest, upright, hardworking, responsible people are called to come to Christ. God loves all people. And which brings me to my second point, which is a very important point. Because I think there's a lot more goody two-shoes in this room than raise their hands. You're so goody two-shoes that you're humble, right? And this is a big one. To all you goody two-shoes, you good people still need Christ. I mean, they need Christ. And what's sad and what's very, very tragic is sometimes the goody two-shoe people, the people who are really responsible, who don't make a ton of mistakes, feel like they don't need Christ as much as the people who are all messed up. Newsflash, we're all messed up. Every one of us, there's no one righteous, not one, I believe, is how the Word of God tells us. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Paul writes like this. He says, now it is evident, let's all read this together because I really want us to let this sink into our minds. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Just because you're good doesn't mean you are perfect. And I want to go a little farther and say something that's going to make a lot of us uncomfortable. Good people go to hell. If you're saying, well, I'm pretty good. I don't make mistakes. I don't do all these other, you know, these questionable things. I've been an honest, hardworking person my whole life. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And why is that so important? Because, the gang, you may be good, but it doesn't mean you're perfect. You may be good, but you're not perfect. And how do we know this? Because, in fact, Jesus knows us thoroughly. That's my next thing here. Jesus knows us thoroughly. He understood. I mean, look at Nathanael. Even though he pointed out to Bartholomew that he was a good guy, that he was a, you know, this model Israelite, in him is no deceit, he has some interesting things to him. Bartholomew, for all practical purpose, was a model Jew on the outside. Somebody say outside. But just because you look good on the outside doesn't mean you're perfect on the inside, gang. Here's this model Jew. Here's this guy not making mistakes. And what does he say? He gets the message from Philip. Yeah, you got to see the Messiah's here. You know, look at this Jesus. He's the one whom the prophets talk. Here's what Nathanael said. Nathanael said to him, now listen to this good model Israelite. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know what? You throw that statement around this day and you're going to have a lawsuit on you. You're going to, in our ultra PC culture, next thing you know, oh wow, we're looking down our nose. We're being judgmental. I mean, doesn't this sound like a judgmental statement? Where's he from? Oh, we know who this guy is. Can anything good come out of Southern Pike County? Can anything good come out of name the community? I'm not going to name it today because I got bad email. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pick on anybody today. I love you all. You're all great. You're all goody two-shoes. So listen to the rest of the message. Okay. The deal is this. Nathanael, even though he's a model Israel, even though there in him is no deceit, doesn't mean that he's perfect. He's judgmental in his approach. He's looking down. He kind of sounds a little racist on this. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Kind of a jerky thing to say now, isn't it? I haven't looked at this before, Pastor, like this. It kind of sounds a little prejudiced. It kind of sounds a little, I don't know why I snorted there. I tried to breathe. One moment, please. There we go. Quit laughing. Okay. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It actually sounds judgmental and holier than thou. And here's the problem. To all the goody two-shoes. And I hate saying that word because it sounds detrimental. I don't mean that. To all the people who really are responsible, and you're not a big hot mess. You got to be careful, because it's very, very easy to sit in the place and think that we don't need Christ. We don't need Christ as much as others. You see, there are many people who really feel that they really don't need Christ, and they're in the church. You don't think the church is full of people who don't need Jesus? You need to read your Bible. You really need to understand it. There are people who rely on their works, who rely on their outside, who rely on everyone else. As long as you reinforce the self-deception that I'm in, and as long as everyone reflects on me, or as long as I compare myself to other people, I feel pretty good about myself. And so this entire fallacy is reinforced, and this deception is reinforced, and we think we don't need Jesus, or we don't need Jesus as much as others. Wow, nothing, I gotta tell you, gang, nothing could be further than the truth. Jesus knows what's going on. I mean, he looks out and he sees what's really in Bartholomew's heart. There are people in the church who think that they're just a little bit better. And I'd like to tell you that in my experience, the people in church who think that they're just a little bit better than other people usually fall into this category because they haven't made big, huge mistakes. They haven't made, you know, these enormous things. So let's continue on, because I really want to look at this. In verse 47, let's draw a magnifying glass to 47 and 48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus, he kind of does a little revelation of who he is, okay? He says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Jesus isn't anywhere near them at this time. Jesus isn't there. He's not with him. In fact, Nathanael's a pretty far way away, and Jesus is letting him know, "Hey, remember where you were sitting at Haymakers and that conversation you had? I was there." Ha! What's your point, Pastor? My point is this: the eyes of the Lord are in all places. And if you can honestly, if you can have a conversation with me, and we can sit down and we can reflect and say, you know, if I knew that Christ was really right here with me, maybe some of my conversations would be different. Maybe some of my internet traffic would be different. Maybe some of my acts of compassion or my non-acts of compassion. Maybe I'd say something just a little bit different if I dropped something on my foot. If I'm working at home, boy, it's going to be one thing, but I'm working at the church. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Boom, 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 boom. It's the curse of the upright in some ways. We are vulnerable to pride, and we are vulnerable to self-deception. We still need Jesus. And the eyes of the Lord are, in fact, in all places. Nathanael has one of these big eyes, drop jaw moments. What, you're there? Because he's learning this truth, and we forget this in the church. This is a call out to all the upright people who you've been a good person your whole life. Jesus wants to draw you, but in that drawing, he also reveals. He draws and he reveals. He draws and he reveals. And gang, I gotta tell you honestly, the closer I get to the Lord, the closer that the more intimate my walk with Christ gets, the more I realize I'm still messed up. I don't get, in my walk, the deeper it goes, the more I realize that I am undone, as Isaiah would say. I'm not finished. There is still room to grow. I don't get closer to Christ and think, wow, I'm doing pretty good now. Y'all kiss the ring. That doesn't happen. And I would challenge any person who gets more comfortable in where you are and who you are and where you stand, I would say that if you begin to get more comfortable, that your walk with Christ is stagnating. And maybe you need to have this call just as Nathanael, just as Bartholomew is having come to him. Because as Christ comes and he calls us, he reveals to us things that aren't like him so that we can replace them with more of the real thing. Intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen? Francis Chan put it like this. Do we, and this is in his book, Crazy Love, do we want to be saved from our sin or just the punishment of our sin? And that's a legit comment. How would you act if you really knew? If the answer is we were different, that we would not act the same way we are, we have room for growth. And so this brings me kind of to my last point today. And boy, this is a tough point to say, because if you read this the wrong way, you're going to walk out of here and not get the full thrust of my message today. But let's just kind of go to this. My next point is this: good people need to abandon their goodness as a means to follow Christ. Do not say, oh, we can just live with you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this: if you think that your goodness, if you think your actions, in fact, are how you follow Christ, or they're the means for you to follow Christ, you don't understand the fullness of the gospel. We are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang earlier, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We are saved but one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 49, Nathanael answered, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Okay? He's referring back to this old wineskin. And Jesus answered him and said, look, you know, because I said when I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. He's talking about the law. You're going to see something greater than this shell of just trying to do good works. And then he pulls him back to a very important part of Israel's history. To Jacob. It says, and he said to him, truly I say that you'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on what? So how are we going to get up and down? How do we get to God? Through the Son of Man, through Jesus Christ, not through our works. And by the way, when Jacob had this experience, he was manipulating everything around him. I'm going to steal the birthright. I'm going to steal the blessing. I'm going to do everything. I'm a good mama's boy. I'm going to finally, my disaster causes me to run. I'm so exhausted, I lay down and I have a vision. This vision of this angels going up and down. And it's a really confusing vision. And I believe it's actually tied into the revelation of what he was really looking for. You can't find your way to Christ in being a goody two-shoes. You can't find your way to God in just trying to do good deeds. You need a heart change, gang. Good people forget that they still need to be born again. Good people need to be born again. And if we settle for the facade of legalism, brother, we're missing it. Sister, we're selling it short. God offers complete life change, not just trading off a shell for a different shell. I want you to know, gang, Nathanael was challenged. He's a good guy. He was doing the right stuff. He didn't have a whole lot of drama. He wasn't perfect, but he was challenged, and he left his former understanding of righteousness and he followed Christ. To the upright out here today, God calls the proud, but the proud will have to be humbled. The whoremonger and the pride monger both find level ground at the foot of the cross. There is no difference. Good people without faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord go to hell. What do we know about Bartholomew's later life? Very, very little. Church tradition tells us that he took the gospel towards India, that he was willing to die for sharing the gospel. But beyond this, beyond his lack of deceit, beyond his good character, what we know that happened later in his life was that his faith in Jesus as his righteousness mattered most. May the same be true for us. God calls the upright to receive a cleansing in his blood. Do you want to be cleansed? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join me as we go before the Lord in a time of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us today. And Father, thank you that as we consider your goodness and your grace, we are humbled. Lord, I praise you that you call, as we've examined these past 3 weeks, You call the really roughnecks, God. You call those people who've got a past. You call those quiet, unassuming people, the wallflowers. And God, you call the upright. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who has gone through their lives, and because they haven't made, you know, huge mistakes, they somehow feel that they don't need as much of you. Lord, replace that false thinking with a total dependency upon you. Lord, save us to the utmost. Allow us to abandon any pride that we have that will lead to a fall, God. Help us to be totally useful in your hands and according to your will and purpose. Thank you, God, that you give us the second chance and even the third chance, and that your mercy is without ends, God. I search our hearts and know us, Father. And we just thank you for the grace and the love that you offer us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen, my church family, as we...
They all were a little, believe me, at one time. We're going to do an a cappella quartet number entitled The New Song. And that name comes from the book of Revelation.
From 1926.
That's true.
Very new.
It thrills my soul to hear the songs of praise we mortals sing below. And though it takes the parting of the ways, yet I must onward go. I hope to hear throughout a number of days the song earth cannot know. They sing in heaven a new song of Moses and the Lamb. I want to hear
the
angels sweetly sing
to bid me
and to welcome me
bright
and fair.
I want to hear the
glad harp sweetly ring with voices blending
oh
so rich and rare.
So
I want to see
see
the Master bring
a precious
crown of life to me
alone
and where.
I want to hear
that mighty chorus sweetly sing. I want to
hear that mighty chorus sweetly sing.
To hear it swell and ring.
The greatest joy that I have ever known is praising Him in song. I know someday when I have older grown, my voice will not be strong. But if good seed toward Jesus I have sown, with angels I'll belong. They sing in heaven a new song of Moses and the Lamb. I want to
hear the
angels sweetly sing
to bid me welcome,
and to welcome me
to bright
and fair.
I want to
hear
the glad harp
sweetly ring with voices bland
and
so rich and rare. I want to
see
the Master bring
a precious
crown of life to me
alone
and where.
I want to
hear that mighty chorus sweetly sing.
I want to
hear that mighty chorus sweetly sing.
To hear it swell and ring.
Sweetest joy that earth can ever boast was sung when Christ was born. Yet he who walked the Galilean coast sometimes was sad forlorn. He left the earth to send the Holy Ghost to guide us till that morn. They sing in heaven a new song of Moses and the Lamb.
I want sound to hear.
Hear the angels sing,
angels sweetly sing,
to bid me
and to welcome me.
Mansions bright
and fair,
I want to hear.
Hear
the
glad harp sweetly ring with voices bland
of rich and rare.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.